This morning's scripture reading will be Matthew 6, 31 through 34. Matthew 6, 31 through 34. Therefore, do not worry, saying, "What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?" For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. But seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble.
I think if I were to count, I could probably find about 12 or 13 sermons in those verses. Maybe more, Larry. Maybe more. But I want to center and focus our thoughts this morning on verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. I think sometimes we get to, we mean well when we say, well, what does that mean? Well, it means exactly what it says. I think what we ought to be saying more is, what do those words, what impact do they have in my life? Not what do the words mean, but what do the words mean that I need to do? Because the words don't change. So let's look at those words. Seek. Seek. You know what seeking means? That's an instruction for us to do. We're to seek. That means we're supposed to look for something. Luke chapter 15 and verse 8, Jesus is telling the parables and he's telling them what the kingdom of heaven is like. And in verse 8 he says, "Or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it?" Seek. Look for it. Try to find it. You don't just sit back and say, well, maybe it'll get there. I can remember one of the fun things in my life growing up, one of the funniest experiences, and it happened several times. My mother, bless her heart, was very absent-minded, shall we say. She was the quintessential absent-minded professor. And there were time after time after time when my mother would walk through the house saying to us kids, "Where are my glasses? You kids, find me, help me find my glasses." And of course, yeah, they were right on top of her head the whole time. And us kids, being the loving, caring, respectful children that we were, the record was 2.5 hours. 2.5 hours seeking her glasses. And of course, we were lifting things and moving things around, and she was turning the laundry room upside down and going through the kitchen and back behind the TV and behind the bed, all over the place. But we were seeking those glasses. We were looking for them. We were turning things over. We were pulling things out. We were lifting things. We were looking under things, behind things, on top of things. Looking for, actively searching for those glasses. You notice what else she did? She didn't just walk around the house looking for her glasses, lifting things and moving things and pulling things and searching for them. Immediately, when she couldn't find them, we kids got co-opted into it. She asked for help. "You help me find my glasses. You help me find what I'm looking for." You put in some effort into it. You really put effort into it. I'll tell you, when we found her glasses every time was when she finally got exasperated and said, "I'll give a dollar to the first kid that finds my glasses. I got them, Mom." Showed the value. When she put a value on finding those glasses, they got found. Seek. What value do we put? What effort do we put into it? This is a command of Jesus. Seek. Look for it. Try to find it. And he then goes on to say, when do you seek? When do you look for it? Seek first. First. Before you do anything else. Ahead of everything else. Do this before you do anything else. It's not so much true as it is now as it used to be. Before I had cataract surgery, my eyesight was 20/4/50. Now, for those of you that are not aware and understand what those numbers mean, you young folks who don't have any need for glasses, that means that at 20 feet away, I could see what you, a normal person, could see 450 feet away. Let that soak in for a minute. I was legally blind. I can remember at about 9 years old, I got my first pair of glasses. They figured out there was something wrong. I went into the eye doctor, and the eye doctor was just astounded and shocked that I was functioning at all. And he gave me my first pair of glasses. We got in the car, and we started driving home, and I said, oh my, there's writing on those big things on the side of the road. I'd never seen a billboard. I didn't know what it was. I had no idea what that was. So you can imagine what I would do after I got my glasses when I got up in the mornings. Before I got out of bed, I found my glasses. Before I did anything else, I found my glasses. First fight Brenda and I ever had. She's going to get mad at me for telling this. I'm going to tell it anyway. First fight we ever had. We got married. We got back from our honeymoon. Everything was wonderful. Everything was great. I got up, woke up in the middle of the night or the morning. I was getting ready to go to work. I rolled over in the bed and reached for my glasses and no glasses. I'm on the floor looking around and Brenda says to me, honey, wait, I'm looking for my glasses. She says, oh, well, I was afraid they might get knocked off, so I moved them over there. Don't you ever move my glasses. We had a discussion. First thing, my eyes pop open, my hand reaches for my glasses. That's first. That's what that means about do it first, before you do anything else. Matthew chapter 7, verse 5. Jesus is speaking. He says, hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. You see, he's talking about somebody who's trying to, I'm going to fix you. No, he says, fix yourself first. Do this before you even attempt to do that. Matthew chapter 12, verse 29. Or how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man? I don't recommend this as an instruction to become a robber. But if you're going to rob somebody, you better make sure that they're not capable of defending themselves before you try to rob them. First. Do this before you do anything else. Being first also means it's important. Look at Matthew chapter 22. Begin in verse 35. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked Jesus a question, testing him, saying, teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Look what he says. This is the first and greatest commandment. First means it's the most important. It means there is nothing more important than that thing that is first. We talk about putting first things first. Putting them in before you go on to the unimportant things. I love the illustration. I've done this, and I thought about bringing it up here today, but there's a whole object lesson. I have taken a jar, a quart jar, and next to the jar are piles of, there's some rocks, and there's some gravel, and there's some sand, and there's a glass of water. And the object lesson, I do this a lot with kids, is you take that thing and you say, what do you put in first? Can you put all of those things in? And they'll say, well, I don't know. So you pour the water in, and it fills the jar. You start putting the sand in, you know what happens? The jar overflows. But if you reverse that, if you start with that empty jar and you put the rocks in the jar, it'll fill the jar, but there's a lot of space in there. And then if you put the gravel in and kind of shake it around a little bit, the gravel will fill in the spaces. And then the sand will fill in those spaces. And you think it's full, but you can pour the jar of water in there, the cask water in there, and it'll fill the jar up completely. And the illustration is used to point out that you put the big rocks in first. If you want a little motto for your life, do that one. Put the big rocks in first. Put the important things in your life first, before anything else. The first and great commandment. Seek first. What do you seek first? Okay, Jesus, I got it. I'm supposed to look for it. I'm supposed to spend effort and put a lot of thought and a lot of planning into it, and really some effort, and look actively first before I do anything else. I'm going to do this looking. What am I looking for? The kingdom. The kingdom. We're not real familiar with kingdoms in this country. Part of that is that we have a history in this country, pardon the pun, of overlooking our history. We used to be part of a kingdom in these United States. I have friends from Great Britain who still refer to making a trip to the colonies. I think he's just bugging me and poking fun. I'm not certain. We used to have a king. We got rid of a king, and we have a history now of not understanding what the idea of a king is. We live in what I call the John Wayne syndrome. I can do it. We're independent. We don't need any king. We don't need anybody in charge of us. We do understand putting our nation ahead of ourselves. You look around at those of you who served in the military. Those of you who serve in the front lines of the medical field today. We understand the concept of sacrifice and putting others ahead of ourselves, but we have a hard time wrapping our heads around a king and the concept of a kingdom. Turn with me to 1 Samuel. In 1 Samuel chapter 8, this is a situation where the people had decided they wanted a king. We want to be like everybody around us. They all have a king. We want to have a king. Kind of like a bunch of kids. He got a cookie. I want one. And Samuel's upset. And God tells him, they're not rejecting you, Samuel. Just relax. They're rejecting me. But he goes on to tell them, be careful what you ask for. Are you really sure you want this? I remember the story of Tom Sawyer. You all remember him? With the little cat? When he was supposed to take his medicine and he said, you won't want it, and looked at the cat. And long story short, he tells it much better than I ever could about how, okay, if that's what you really want. He gave the cat the medicine, the cat went berserk. Be careful what you ask for. And God tells him this chapter 8. Beginning in verse 11 of 1 Samuel, and he said, this will be the behavior of the king who will reign over you. This is what kings are going to do. He'll take your sons and appoint them for his own chariots and to be his horsemen, and some will run before his chariots. He'll appoint captains over his thousands and captains over his fifties. He'll set some to plow his ground and reap his harvest, some to make his weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. He'll take your daughters to be perfumers, cooks, and bakers. He'll take the best of your fields, your vineyards, your olive groves, and give them to his servants. He'll take a tenth of your grain and your vintage and give it to his officers and servants. Taxes. And he'll take your male servants, your female servants, your finest young men, your donkeys, and put them to his work. He'll take a tenth of your sheep, and you'll be his servants. Are you sure you want a king? Because this is what kings do. Without exception, this is what kings do. People, of course, said they wanted a king. Well, brothers and sisters, guess what? We got a king. We have a king. And we're supposed to seek first the kingdom. Put the kingdom ahead of everything else. And not just the kingdom, but we know which kingdom. Because he tells us. You see, if God is the king in our lives, he'll come first. He'll come ahead of everything else. There will be nothing that we own that he won't take. What kingdom? The kingdom of God. Not an earthly kingdom. John chapter 18, Jesus tells us this, verse 36. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. Pilate therefore said to him, verse 37, are you a king then? And Jesus answered, you say rightly that I am a king. You say rightly that I am a king. Not just any kingdom, the kingdom belonging to God. It is the kingdom of God, his kingdom. I found 70 plus times in the New King James Version, the New Testament refers to the kingdom of God. More than 70 times. It's an important concept. The kingdom of God. He created it. He owns it. And he rules it. I like comic strips, and one of my favorites is The Wizard of Id. And they had a little strip there one time when they said, we believe in the golden rule. The robber on the side of the road says, I live by the golden rule. And they said, what do you mean? He said, he who has the gold makes the rules. Well, guess what, brothers and sisters? God has the gold. God created the gold. God owns the gold. He controls the gold, and he makes the rules. It's his kingdom. All of those things that the people were warned about in Samuel, in 1 Samuel chapter 8, they all apply to us now, to this kingdom, to this kingdom of God. God is going to take your best. God's going to insist on your first. He's going to take it, and he requires it. And if you're going to have a king and be part of the kingdom, you're going to give it up to him. He wants the best of our work in his kingdom. He wants us in his army. He wants our goods and our possessions. And he's entitled to them because he's the king. Just as the people were warned in 1 Samuel, we have to understand the same situation today. Putting the kingdom of God first is what allows us to have citizenship. And that citizenship comes with rights, it comes with responsibilities, it comes with rewards. We get that. We understand that concept. You want to see this country go down the tubes in a hurry? Just quit voting right. You want to see things go bad in a hurry? Just quit being involved. Quit putting something into it. We have a responsibility to participate. We have a responsibility to stand up and say, that's wrong, that's right. There's a difference between good and evil. There's a difference between right and wrong. Our country is filled with sin right now. You know it and I know it. And brothers and sisters, a large part of the reason is because we let it happen. We didn't fulfill our responsibilities. We didn't stand up and say, I won't have that on my television because it's wrong. Turn it off. Made my living in television for a number of years, but I really understand and can't argue with the fact that my dad used to call it to television. because he could see where it was going, where it was taking us. We need to stand up and say, that's wrong and I will not have it. That's a responsibility that we have, because we need to seek first the kingdom of God. Put the kingdom of God first, ahead of everything, ahead of everyone else in our lives. And what else does he say? Seek first the kingdom of God and, there's more, his righteousness. Righteousness means being right. It means being what God wants us to be. Righteousness, being right. And more than just correct, morally right. Oh, the story of the cab driver many years ago. He dropped his fare off where the person was getting out. The passenger looked at the meter and it said $1.87. And he counted out $1.87. And the cabbie sat there and he held it in his hand. He looked up at the passenger. The passenger said, "That's correct, is it not?" The cabbie looked back down at his hand and he said, "Well, it's correct, but it ain't right." Yeah. You see, there's a difference sometimes between being correct and being right. When I was teaching kids to drive, I passed on to them something my driving instructor taught me a long time ago. He said, you pull up to that intersection, and you look at the right-of-way, and you decide that you have the right-of-way, and you pull out, and that 18-wheeler smashes you. He says, you may be correct. You might even be right, but you're going to be dead right. You see, it's not enough to be right. We need to be morally right. And God is right. We're to seek his righteousness, God's righteousness, because God is always right. Years ago, somehow I ended up with a coffee cup collection many years ago. In fact, Jason, we got a coffee cup in the mail from house to house, heart to heart. Jason looked at me. He said, you want this coffee cup? Because it's a nice looking coffee cup and I don't need it. I said, Jason, at one point I had 195 coffee cups because somebody decided that I had a collection going. So they started sending them to me. All these salesmen, all my friends, everybody was sending me coffee cups. I said, the second time we moved them, I looked at Brendan and said, some of these cups got to go. So no, I don't want another coffee cup. But one I remember that the kids got for me said, rule number one, Dad is right. Rule number two, if Dad is wrong, see rule one. Well, God is never wrong, but no matter where you are in your life, God is right. And wherever you are, see rule one. Seek God's righteousness. We need to accept and act like God comes first. And that means that we need to talk like God comes first. We need to treat other people like God comes first. We need to behave like God comes first. And sometimes that's going to mean we're going to stand out and people are going to look at us and say, what's different about him? She's not like everybody else. That's right, because in our life, God comes first. We take care of his commands, his wishes, always before anything else. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And look at the last part of the verse. All these things will be added to you. All these things. Does that mean I'm going to get everything in the whole world? No, that's not what it says. He's looked back before that. In the verses before, he's talking about what we're going to wear, what we're going to eat, and how we're going to live physically here on this earth. That's what he's talking about. He's not talking about gold-plated Cadillacs. He's talking about what you need to live here on this earth. He's not telling us to ignore our responsibilities and go work for what we need, because that's our responsibility as a citizen of the kingdom. But he is saying, put that first. That's a hard lesson to learn. That is tough. Leon, in your job, we got you scheduled to work Sunday morning next week. It's my job. It's how I make a living. It's how I take care of my family. Do you have any idea? Yeah, of course you do, how hard it is to look the boss square in the eye and say, no, sir, I told you I can't work Sunday morning. Now, there are times when we work Sunday morning. I get that. I understand. Jesus also taught about the ox being in the ditch, and there are times when you do that. I remember growing up, I was about 16 years old. I had just got my driver's license, and we had a lady in the church whose teenage daughter had run away from home. And the whole congregation, all 75 or 80 of us, are out searching for this teenage daughter because she has been somewhat rebellious, and we know she's going to be in big trouble if we don't find her. She's been hanging out with some guys that are going to get her in big trouble if we don't find this girl. And we got to find her. And a whole bunch of us are out scattered all over town looking for her. It was Wednesday afternoon, and about 6:45, her mother looks up and says, oh, it's 6:45, I got to go to church. And she left us looking for her daughter to go ascend Bible class. Now, I admire her devotion to God, and I admire her stick-to-itiveness to say, it's Wednesday night, I'm supposed to be at Bible class, and that's where I'm going to go. But brothers and sisters, with no insult intended to that teenage daughter, that ox was in the ditch, and we needed to get her first and save her life. I get that. I understand that. What he's talking about here, about putting it first, and these things will be added to you, is not don't do your job. What he's talking about is you'll be rewarded if you put God first. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What's first in your life? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What are you seeking first? What's the most important thing in your life? What are you digging and scratching and moving things and searching for? What are you asking for help to find? What's the focus of your life, of your everyday life, of what you do from the time you get up to the time you go to sleep? What's the most important thing in your life here on this earth? If it's not the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then brothers and sisters, you need to make a change. And you need to make that change today. I implore you, seek first, ahead of all else, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Everything else will work out. Everything else will come through. Jesus will fix the other things in your life if you put him first. If you need to make a change between him and you, we're going to stand up, we're going to sing this song. While we're singing, make that change in your relationship with God. If you need to come forward and ask for prayer, if you need to come forward and ask for forgiveness, if you need to come forward and say, I put it off and I need to be buried with him in baptism because I've been putting other things ahead of Jesus in my life, then I implore you, make that change today. Seek first the kingdom of God. Let's stand and sing the song and offer the invitation of the Lord.